welcome to the Creative Mind podcast, where I discuss psychology and its influence on culture from a Christian perspective. My name is Ashley Hageman. I'm a therapist and adjunct professor of psychology, and I'm excited to get started with you guys. This is my very first podcast, and so I'm going to spend this episode discussing a little bit about why I started this podcast to begin with, and to frame the rest of it and what you might expect moving on from here. But before I get into a lot of that, I'd like to share with you a story that I think is really going to exemplify my points. So Hannah Mills was a young woman, and she lost her husband early. And she had, understandably, a lot of grief over this. However, eventually her grief passed into a condition called melancholy. That is basically the olden times equivalent to what we would term depression today. Now, we don't know exactly the nature of her symptoms. We don't know their severity. We don't know if she had any kind of suicidal ideation or even any self-harm behaviors. But what we do know is that her friends and family felt that she shouldn't live on her own anymore. They felt that she needed help. And at that time in history, that meant that it was probably quite severe. Because for just a mild depression where you're feeling down but are able to function in your life, you wouldn't seek help for that. This had to have been something that was quite debilitating. And so they turned to the place that was there to help them. They turned to the hospital, the York Asylum. And this is where all the experts were. This is where the doctors were who knew how to care for those with mental illness. And so they admitted her in March of 1790. And shortly after, they wanted to see her. They wanted to come and encourage her. She was a Quaker, and there is a very tight-knit Quaker community. And they wanted to encourage her in her faith. They wanted to see how she was doing and help her in any way that they could. They were told that they could not see her. They were told that she's undergoing a private treatment and that seeing her friends and family members would disrupt this treatment. In April of that year, Hannah Mills died, and this rocked those that she knew and loved. William Tuke specifically was a friend of hers. He was a Quaker himself, and he wanted to look into her death. He was extremely concerned about the conditions that were happening at the York Asylum, and so he investigated. And he found that what was going on at the asylum was absolutely cruel, but it was also not any different than any of the other asylums. It was the standard of care that was expected in the scientific community. Joseph Townsend was a well-known doctor. He was best known for his work advocating for those who were experiencing poverty. His great contribution was that he advocated for a general fund to help those in poverty to be able to afford burials and to afford healthcare. So by all accounts, this is somebody who cared about the downtrodden, someone who had a heart. and he was, you know, a preeminent doctor at the time and very involved in politics as well. And he wrote, speaking of those with mental illness, "Hunger will tame the fiercest animals. It will teach decency and civility, obedience and subjection to the most perverse." So this quote gives a snapshot into the mindset of how people conceptualized those experiencing mental illness at the time. They viewed them almost as subhuman, as something different than us. They even thought that they had different properties than normal human. For example, a lot of scientists believed that that lunatics couldn't feel cold, that they were impervious to the cold, and that they didn't need to wear clothes. The treatments for mental illness at the time were nothing short of cruel. They were often chained to a wall. They were often kept naked and underfed. They were kept in dark rooms in isolation, totally on their own. Because the goal for treating mental illness was just docility. You were considered recovered if you were just quiet and didn't exhibit, you know, any kind of symptoms that might seem concerning to other people. So basically anything to essentially beat this person into submission and into docility, that is the treatment. And William Tuke, after looking into this, he felt that he couldn't necessarily blame the practitioners there at the York Asylum, because this is what all the top scientists were saying is the right way to teach people or to treat people. Now, with our modern ears, we look back at this and we can say, wow, that's so horrible. I mean, nowadays we have therapy, we have medications, and those with mental illness can often live functional lives and they can still live in their own homes and be with their families. What we need to understand is what it would be like to be back in history. It's easy to look with what we know now and to look with the culture that we have now and say this is bad, but can we really say that's bad? You know, if we were back then, what would we think? Would we trust the scientists? Would we trust the experts? And many studies in psychology have shown that most of us would, and that there are very few who would stand up and say that, no, this is wrong, or even think that it's wrong. But William Tuke was among those people that was able to look at these treatments that were standard for the day and say, no, that's not right. This is cruel. People should not be treated this way. He envisioned a different way of treating those with mental illness. He envisioned a beautiful retreat where people could get away from the cares of their life, where they could experience rest, where they could take walks in the garden, where they could have lots of natural light, where they could sit and talk to people who actually cared about them and have almost a family feel with those who were treating them. He envisioned where those with mental illness can be given limited jobs so that they can feel that they're contributing to society and have a pride in their work. He conceptualized humans as human, as having moral ability, that they actually can be different, that they can make choices, that they can heal and grow and be different. And part of the main thrust of his reasoning for this was his faith. He was, as I said before, a dedicated Quaker. And one of the main theologies, like components of theology in the Quaker mind, was that each person has the light of God in them. And this is rooted in the concept of the image of God that we read about in Genesis. And it's a concept that almost all of those who call themselves Christian can agree on, that we as humans were created special, that we were created in the image of God in a way that the angels and animals and other creatures are not. And therefore, each human, no matter what they do, should be afforded dignity, should be treated as if we would treat God himself. Not that we worship humans, we need to be careful to avoid any kind of humanism or idolatry of our fellow man, which is a philosophy that I feel is kind of rampant in our society right now, but that we treat humanity with a dignity that flows from our worship of God. And so it's not something that is inherent in humanity itself, but it is inherent in human itself because of the character of God and the image of God that we bear. And so, yeah, essentially we need to treat humans with the same kind of dignity that we would treat God, knowing that that flows from God and his character and is not something that's in and of ourselves. And so this drove him to look at those, you know, the downtrodden, to look at those experiencing mental illness and treat them with dignity and respect and actually help them get better. And the results spoke for themselves. The people coming out of William Tuke's York retreat were actually being recovered. They were actually able to go back to their normal lives. And they had recovery rates that far exceeded those of even the most advanced asylums at the time. And so his moral treatment, his idea of how we process or treat mental illness spread. It spread throughout Europe and even to America. There was several locations in Pennsylvania specifically that were built along these lines of a very small retreat where people could go, where they could be known and talk and encouraged and have rest. And they experienced extremely good success rates. Now, eventually these institutions began to change. They began to be more institutionalized, and the thoughts of how we treat people changed, and therefore these asylums began to have less and less ability to help people recover, and they began to have more of a reputation of mistreatment and that they're a bad place. And so that's where a lot of people in American history conceptualize the asylum as something terrible and evil. But We see in William Tuke's original work, his vision for things was beautiful, and it was grounded in his faith. It was grounded in his theology and not in the scientific advancements of the time. Now, I share this story not to say that we shouldn't trust science at all, because that's absolutely wrong too. God reveals himself to us both through his word, through scripture and his special revelation, but also in his world and in his creation, and we are part of that creation. And so as we study the human mind and behavior, we can discover truths about God and about the way that he created the world. However, the way that we study them can be wrong, and the assumptions that we have at going into those studies can be wrong, and the way that we interpret these studies can be wrong. And so we need to have a unifying principle. We need to be grounded in some kind of ethics and able to show us why things are the way that they are in an ultimate sense, and what they should look like. And those are questions that psychology itself cannot answer. Psychology can answer the how. They can answer the immediate why, so kind of an earthly why, but not an existential why of mental illness or mental health, of why we do the things that we do. It also can't say what is healthy, you know? You have to have some kind of theoretical, some kind of philosophical, I would say theological, view or lens to be able to say, this is what health looks like. This is how we should treat people. These are the ethics that guide our practice. This is what's not. And so that, I think, is where our faith comes in as Christians. We need to be grounded in the absolute truth of God and his character and who he is. And the way that we know that is through his special revelation of his scripture. So we need to be grounded in that and well-versed in that to be able to stand against the winds of whatever the scientific community says that could be true and could be good, but it could be not. This is what grounds us in ethics and gives us absolute truth and the way to absolutely treat people with love and dignity. So that's why I'm so passionate about this subject, is because you can see throughout history how people have been so incredibly harmed by the way that we have conceptualized mental illness. Those who experience depression or hallucinations or any number of mental illness have been subjected to just absolute atrocities. And the more that you look into the history of mental illness in America and throughout the world, it never ceases to amaze me, the more and more creative ways to subject people to essentially torture. But we are so enlightened nowadays, but how did we get here? And again, that's grounded in scripture. It's grounded in the ethic of treating those the way that we would like to be treated. It's grounded in the ethic of the image of God in man, and that there is unique dignity in man. So that's kind of a taste of what we're going to be discussing. And I'd like to, in each episode, get into more specifics and take examples of the messages that we're receiving from psychology and evaluating them from a lens of scripture. So we're able to say, this is what God says, and you know, past that, we need psychology to be able to help us to understand these conditions a little bit more. But our foundation, rooted in scripture, rooted in theology and our understanding of God, is what keeps us grounded in ethics, and it keeps us grounded to the absolute truth. So that's my passion for this project. I am excited to go with you guys on this journey. I hope you appreciated this podcast, and stay tuned for the next one. And if you really like what you heard and you want to hear more and you want to learn more about how to process psychology from a Christian perspective, I do have an e-course available, and the link is in the show notes on udemy.com. And that gives you 5 hours of video lecture and then some little assignments that are really just for some reflection questions for your growth. And you can sample that there. You don't have to buy it to see what it's going to be like. You can watch some of the videos and see what it's like for yourself. So if you like what you heard, take a click on that and explore that. But anyways, I will see you next time, and I'll talk to you later.